Well, welcome back to our study of Deuteronomy. We have been reading in chapter 15, and we've just recently read verses 7 through 11, and we've been talking about the principles here embedded in this law of helping those in need. I looked at another Bible in the office, and there's a heading in that Bible when you get to that 7th verse here in the 15th chapter. And that heading reads, Help for the Poor Man. And that sounds simple, doesn't it? But I want you really to take this in. Help for the poor man. When you look up that word poor, especially in this 15th chapter here, it means a sense of want, destitute. And really, that definition, somebody who's poor has a need. They're deficient in an area, and they have a need that they cannot provide for themselves. They're helpless. They can't provide for themselves in that area. And what I was thinking about is the fact that we were all, at one time, spiritually destitute. We were all poor. Without help, we had a need. We knew there was something bigger than us that we needed help meeting this need. And Jesus came along and fulfilled that need for us. But what I want us to take a look at here is the spiritual principle embedded in what we've been reading. You think about all the way back to Matthew chapter 10. In verse 8, do you remember what Jesus told his disciples when he sent them out? He said, freely you have received, freely give. Now, let's think for a minute about that concept of freely you have received. I thank the Lord that He has given me this revelation in my heart that absolutely everything that I have is because God has given it to me. You know, for the longest period of time, my mindset was, well, I worked. At one time, I had 3 jobs. I worked. But I didn't understand who my provider was, who my provider is. And once we have that concept of who our provider is, it's not us. It's God. Everything you have, it's because He gave it to you. Then it makes it real simple to give away, because it's not yours anyway. I remember on a trip that we had to Haiti, and we had taken some funds down, and we were planning on something, and, well, I just gave it all away. And I was so excited about giving all that away. Everything I had, I said, I'll be glad, so we'll just give it all away. That's what the Lord has done for us. He gave it all away for us. He gave His only begotten Son for us. Why would we not want to do for Him? You see, we do for Him by doing for other people. And it's not something you have to conjure up. All you have to do is listen on the inside, and you get a prompting. And you just obey the prompting. One of the verses that we looked up was in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. I just said earlier that everything that we have is because God gave it to us. Well, do you know even your being does not belong to you? When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, as your Redeemer, then you recognize that He paid for you. You were bought and paid for with a price. His life bought and paid for you. That's why Paul could so freely say he identified himself as a slave. I'm a slave of God. Why? A person who is a slave is bought and owned by another. We are bought and owned by the blood of Jesus Christ when we choose to accept that. And He is a good, good master, isn't He? And so when we know that we were bought with a price, therefore, what are we supposed to do? We glorify God in our body and in our spirit, which both belong to God. And so this notion of giving, it should come very easy to the born-again believer. It should be very easy to the spirit-filled person, the Spirit of God, Holy Spirit-filled. Why would we not want to help someone? We most definitely wouldn't want to be accused of having a wicked heart. I don't want that label. Do you want that label? This person owes me this. I'm going to get everything I can out of them. Well, do you see Jesus acting that way? That whole notion that Pete talked about earlier last session, the golden rule. Treat others as you want to be treated. You know what my litmus test is? How did Jesus treat me? Then that's how I am to treat others. This does not mean that you give to every panhandler standing on the street. You obey the Spirit of God. There are people out there that are looking to take advantage. There are people out there that are just too sorry to work because they know they can take advantage. Well, I thought you were a Christian. Well, I thought you were able-bodied. There's a whole lot of things we have to look at here. But here's the main thing. Obey the Spirit of God on the inside of you. And then taking care of others will just come naturally. This is not all about money, you understand. What did we receive from Jesus? We received spiritual gifts and spiritual blessings that manifest in the natural. But what comes first? The spiritual comes first. Freely we have received, freely you give. You know what? That's why this college today, if you look at the tuition for STC Bible College, it seems absolutely unreal. I challenge you to find any other college in the United States of America that has the tuition that we do. Do you know why we have the tuition that we do? Because freely we have received. So freely we give. You know what our tuition's about? Overhead, taking care of toner, taking care of paper. It certainly doesn't pay for salaries or line anybody's pockets. I can guarantee you that. So what we're telling you here are spiritual principles that have come alive within our hearts. May they come alive in yours.
You know where he's talking about when that seventh year ends and you release, you don't begrudge that. And I was thinking of Mark 11, if you look at verses 25 and 26, how we're commanded to forgive. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against anybody. And then in verse 26, it tells us that how we forgive is how we are forgiven. And so, do you want God to hold over your head you owe Him? Then you don't hold that over someone's head that they owe you. When the seventh year comes, you should rejoice in, you've been good for me. I'm blessed. God's blessed me. God's given me the ability to be a blessing to you. And I want to bless you before you leave. And I want to give you something to go with you. It's not just that, thank you for working for me and goodbye. But I don't want you to go out empty. Man, I just got a thought. How many churches, how many ministers send people out empty? They stand there and talk, but they're not giving them the Word of God. What's God saying? God knows the need of the person, and God wants to speak into the need of that person, so that person goes out having heard from God, not some message, but hearing by the Spirit. Okay? And so we have to learn that we're on earth not for ourselves, but we're here on earth to represent the Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. That's how the kingdom of God is established on earth. In our hearts, God ruling in us, then God ruling through us by doing what He's always done. Reaching out with compassion and love. Are you with me? And that's what this is all about. You're compassionate toward the guy that's poor, whether he's naturally poor or whether he's spiritually poor. You're compassionate toward that person. You don't browbeat them because they don't know what you know. If they knew what you knew, they wouldn't need you. You understand? And we've got to get these things in perspective and not elevate ourselves above someone else. But with the grace of God, that could be us. And, you know, we haven't always had the knowledge of God that we have now. Thank God somebody shared knowledge with us. You understand? Somebody cared for us. And God wants us to care for other people.
Peter and John, silver and gold.
Yeah, you think about it in Acts chapter 3, where after Jesus' ascension and Peter and John are walking to the temple, and here's the lame man begging. And Peter stops as the spokesman, and he says, "Silver and gold have I none. But I have something." You understand? You have something to give if Jesus Christ is living in you. You with me? People say, "Well, I don't have anything." Well, that's not true. You do have. And he said, "Such as I have, give I you." I'm going to give you something better than money. I'm going to give you something that'll get you up, literally up on your feet, to where you no longer have to beg. You with me? Well, thank God for blessing us, getting us on our feet to where we don't have to beg. We can go tell people what great thing the Lord's done for us. And then, He's no respecter of persons, so then they can go out and tell what great things God's done for them. And you keep this thing going.
So this notion of releasing your brother that's in bondage here, that owes a debt, is to get them back up on their feet, right? Get them back up on their feet. Let them go operate and fulfill the plan that God has for their lives.
If they've done you wrong, release it.
But
don't give any place for resentment. Don't give any place for bitterness. You get that out of you. It's for your benefit. So often we think forgiveness is for the benefit of the other person. No, God is telling us to forgive for our benefit because it keeps an open channel for God to pour blessing into us. And so if you're harboring anything, get that thing taken care of now. Get it out of the way. Are you with me? God wants us totally free. Totally free. To where we hear, then we can implement what we're hearing. You understand? But if you have resentment and things in your heart, it'll block your hearing, which will block your doing.
Verse 12, Deuteronomy chapter 15. And if thy brother, a Hebrew man or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the 7th year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, and out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress. Of that wherewith the Lord thy God has blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today.
And so here he's just telling you to be compassionate toward others. Remember, you used to be a slave. We all were slaves to sin. Isn't it amazing how it's easier to condemn a person than it is to forgive a person? We can point out the wrongdoings easily. But what we have to do is release those things. Have you lived a perfect life? Of course not. There's nobody in here who wants your past put up on the board. You understand? And so we have to release other people. Now, here's the thing. Don't send them out empty-handed. You bless them. You bless them. You free them and bless them. In other words, give them a new start. You with me? Isn't that what God's done for us? He's given us a new start. Now, obviously, we need to use that wisely, but they have a chance. They have a chance. And so we have to learn to do things God's way, and I can tell you that God has a compassionate heart. As a matter of fact, if you think about it, you want to represent God on the earth, you need the heart of the Father. It's compassionate. You need the mind of Christ that lets you know what to do. And you need the power of the Holy Spirit so you can do what you know to do. And if you're operating in those three things, then the will of God can be done through you here on earth. And that's what he's looking for.
Here again, God does not ask us to do anything he doesn't do for us.
Yeah.
So don't let someone go out empty-handed. I think about something natural. Every time I visited my mama's house, every time I left that home with something in my hand. Yeah, every time I'm with the Lord, if I'm sensitive, I will not leave that encounter without taking away something that he's given me. So let's do for others as he does for us. That's a beautiful thing. And here's why we're able to do that. Look at that 14th verse. The Lord thy God has blessed thee. We say so often, we're blessed to be a blessing. Well, here it is. Right here in the Old Covenant. In Deuteronomy. How about that? Verse, where am I? 16. Thank you. And it shall be, if he say unto thee, I will not go away from thee, because he loveth thee, and thine house, because he is well with thee, then thou shalt take an awl, and thrust it through his ear unto the door, and he shall be thy servant forever, and also unto thy maidservant thou shalt do likewise.
Now, if you really look at this closely, that means that this person this lender has treated that person so well.
Yeah.
That person just loves them. To the point of, I fulfilled my obligation, but can I just hang out with you? Can I just stay here? Can I keep on serving you? You understand? Well, that's how I feel about the Lord. So we put our ear to the door, let him pierce our ear. You understand what I mean by that? And that's why we can say we're slaves. That's why all your apostles did not call themselves the apostles. They didn't have a title. They didn't take a title. Paul said, Paul, a slave of the Lord, called to be an apostle, which by definition is a delegate. I'm a delegate for the Lord. A delegate is a representative. So all of a sudden that glorious title ceases to be the glorious title. I'm a delegate. I'm a representative of the Lord. But here's the thing. I'm a slave. I'm bought. I'm paid for. So that means God calls me 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So because he's the master and I'm the slave, he can request that I do something anytime he wants to. Not just when it's convenient for me. You follow me? But he's not going to take advantage of me. But how many of you know when people are in need, that's when they need you? And I have found a lot of the need is not when it's convenient. But that doesn't negate the need, and that doesn't mean that God doesn't want to meet that need. And he's dependent upon us to do that, just like he was dependent upon Israel to represent him well. God wants the body of Christ to represent him well, to take care of one another. This is how the Lord ministers to the body today. The body ministers to the body. You remember in Matthew, I believe it's 25, where Jesus has said, "When I was hungry, you fed me. When I didn't have clothes, you clothed me. Or when I was sick, you visited me. In prison, you visited me." And when do we do that? He said, "As often as you do it to the least of these, you've done it to me." And so we're told, whatever we do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord. So remember, when you do something for somebody, don't you take the credit for it. You just say, you give thanks to the Lord. Because really, the Lord loves you, and the Lord sees your need, and it's the Lord that's taking care of your need. He just happened to use me. But it's really the Lord that's doing that. And you have to keep that mindset on the inside of you. And that'll keep you humble before the Lord and keep you out of pride. And it won't be people going off bragging about you. It'll be people that have a revelation. God does care. God does know where I live. God does know what I'm going through. And that's what this is all about. God looking out after the poor.
Verse 18. And it shall not seem hard unto thee when thou sendest him away free from thee, for he hath been worth a double hire servant to thee in serving thee 6 years, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that thou doest.
So he says he's worth twice to you. What if you would have hired somebody to do that work? So don't be afraid to bless this person. You bless that person, and you just realize that when you obey God, God will bless you. People are wanting the blessing without the obedience. It doesn't work that way.
Verse 19. All the firstling males that come of thy herd and of thy flock thou shalt sanctify unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work with the firstling of thy bullock, nor shear the firstling of thy sheep. Right.
Okay. So the firstborn, the firstlings belong to God. Now, note what he said. Number one, you sure don't eat it, okay? You don't work it. You don't even shear the sheep. In other words, what he's saying is you don't take what's God's and use it on you. This belongs to God. God established that right there in Egypt. The firstborn belongs to God. So at the very beginning there, the firstborn is the Lord's. Whether it's your child, the firstborn son. Now, obviously, you don't sacrifice the son, but what do? You pay the redemption money to the Lord. Okay? Your sheep, your cow, yep, you give that to the Lord. It's sacrificed to the Lord. This is the Lord's. I won't fleece it. I won't work with it. It's God's. And God's worthy. And here's the thing. It's not that God needs it. You follow me? God doesn't need your goat, your sheep. As a matter of fact, he says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the silver and gold is his, is what it says in Haggai. So it's not that God has the need per se. God has set up a method to bless people.
Yeah.
And if they will do what God says, and here you give the first, what are you doing? You're operating by faith. I'm going to give the first one to you. You know this is what Hannah did?
Yeah.
Lord, if you'll give me a son, I'll give him to you. And she kept her word. And God gave her more than one. Didn't he? Yeah, no. Live by faith. See, he says the just live by faith. Not by law. Not by works. See, you can look at this as just works. Well, I've taken this and given it to the Lord, so I did something. Or you can look at it and say, the Lord said this, and I'm going to obey the Lord. One's faith, one's works. You're doing the same thing, but it's the motivation of your heart. God wants us to do what we do because we love and trust the Lord.
There's something to that, the firstborn belonging to God. Think about Jesus and Mary. Verse 20. Thou shalt eat it before the Lord thy God year by year in the place which the Lord shall choose, thou and thy household.
No wonder Jesus said, eat my flesh and drink my blood. That's,
yeah, that's something.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Y'all see that? Firstborn. And so that firstborn is
pointing to Jesus.
Absolutely. Blesses other people. Did God's first and only one, his firstborn, bless others? Was he born to be a blessing? What you give to God blesses other people, but it also blesses you. That's beautiful. You want to say anything about where God chose to place his name?
Here again, how many times has he said that through here? This is a thing, I don't know, many years ago that this really jumped out to me. You have to, like with your sacrifices or whatever, you take it, you give to God where God's name is. If God's name's not there, you're not giving it to God. A lot of people will give to a church, to a charitable organization, to whatever. Where's God's name? You take things, your gifts are given to God, and if it's going to be a gift to God, then God has to approve of that place. You follow me? And I believe a lot of people are sowing seed in concrete surfaces, and it's not getting returned. God's name's not there. Oh, maybe you did a noble deed, but how many of you know good is not necessarily right? Actually, good can be an enemy to right. You can do a good thing and not do what God told you to do. Well, there's no substitute for obedience.
You know, just because God's name is on a marquee doesn't mean he put it there.
Yeah.
Verse 21. And if there be any blemish therein, as if it be lame or blind, or have any ill blemish, thou shalt not sacrifice it unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt eat it within thy gates, the unclean, and the clean person shall eat it alike, as the roebuck and as the hart. Only thou shalt not eat the blood thereof. Thou shalt pour it upon the ground as water.
So the Lord requires not something defective. Okay, so he says if your animal is, and he lists this, lame, blind, with some type of physical defect in it, then don't offer that to the Lord. You wouldn't offer it to the king. You wouldn't offer it to the president. You wouldn't offer it to some dignitary. Don't offer it to God. Now, in this case, you can eat that within your gate. Not the blood. You have to pour the blood out. But you can eat it both clean and unclean. You can eat this just like they would the gazelle or the deer. Don't eat the blood of the animal. You pour it on the ground like water. That's the life. That's the life. You think about it, there's no defect in the life of Jesus. Is there in the blood of Jesus? Got the job done.
Amen.
Give God your best.
Chapter 16. This chapter records the command for all males to observe the annual Passover and Unleavened Bread Festival, the Festival of Weeks and the Festival of Tabernacles, the command to appoint judges and officials for every city, and the command to abstain from any form of idol worship.
The Passover and Unleavened Feast were put together, okay? The Passover, obviously, is representing when they killed the Passover lamb in Egypt. But immediately, the next day, the Unleavened Feast starts. So it's Passover and Unleavened Bread. By the time you get over to the New Testament, they have it combined like as one festival. But there were three required festivals. The Passover, or Unleavened Bread, that's one and the same, okay? And then the Feast of Weeks, Feast of Harvest, then the Feast of the Tabernacles, or the Festival of the Tabernacles, the booths. Three divine appointments that were required. You understand, this is not optional. This is required. And we'll look at these, but I believe it points to something. Okay.
Verse 1. Observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib, the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God, of the flock and of the herd, in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there.
So God is stipulating what this Passover can be, okay? And here again, notice, it has to be at the place God's chosen to place his name. Now, we know when Israel went into the Promised Land, originally, Shiloh was set up. That's where the tabernacle was set up. That's where God had placed his name, in Shiloh. But because of the wickedness of the people, Shiloh was no longer accepted. You understand? They were destroyed by the enemy, and God withdrew his name. Later on, you see with the building of Solomon's temple that God places his name on that temple, and he tells Solomon, my paraphrase, as long as you're obedient to God and you're doing what I say, my name will stay on this place perpetually. But it's conditional. When you turn away from me, he said, I'll destroy it. So just because God's name has been on a place doesn't mean that it's perpetual. It's perpetual if we stay in obedience to God. There's a lot of churches that started out well, and then they turned and got away from God. And so God's name's not resting on people who have rejected him. You follow me? And we need to keep those things in mind. And our time's up, so we're going to have to stop here, okay? We'll pick back up with this in our next session. Well, I thank you that you bless us indeed. Jen Lord, your territory. Your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered and those who hate you flee before you. Amen. You guys have a great rest of the week.